Okay, good afternoon, everyone. We are continuing our work here with the Rays and the Initiations webinar commentaries. Today is still the 17th of February, 2017, and we are on program number 70. We've been looking at some of the great advantages of the incoming seventh ray of order and ceremonial magic. We see that, the Lord of a Ray is a great shambolic being and is cooperating with the Lord of the world to bring about a needed reforming. The new forms will be appearing and they will be closer to the archetypes that are held as purpose in the mind of our planetary logos. So a new world will be created. It will express new qualities and institute. Notice how often the word new is used. Those new regimes and organized modes of creative activity, which will demonstrate the new livingness and the new techniques of living. These are such Uranian words. What Uranus sponsors always seems new because the archetype has never fully manifested in the conditioned world. So when the outlines of the archetype intrude themselves upon the conditioned world as we have it, it always seems like something new, even though it's been there from the very beginning and through to the end on a higher plane. There is, however, because of the personality of humanity, a distortion of these higher ideals. And it can be a very materialistic ray, and it can produce totalitarian systems, which terribly impose the free spirit, impose on the free spirit of men. Totalitarianism is the regimentation, results from the regimentation of the seventh ray, and all have to be the same. The Soviet Union or Russia had the seventh ray soul, and so when the totalitarian tendencies manifested, it was reinforced by the ray of the ray of the nation. Anyway, there's going to be much improvement in the forms, in the livingness, in the types of relationships that will be operative in the coming century. So now DK reaches the point where he wants to sum up what he has said. To sum up what I've said, one, the energy of the seventh ray is the potent agent of initiation when initiation is taken on the physical plane, that is during the process of the first initiation. So we might say everything related to the physical plane has its necessary relation to the seventh ray. Okay, everything. EVT, how about that? We're oftentimes dealing with that. And, oh, it's already there. All right, so I'm ahead of myself. So the seventh ray is particularly operative on the physical plane, etheric physical plane, but also on the highest or seventh plane or first plane. What can we call it? Highest or first plane. Also a seventh from below. To sum up, okay, good teacher always sums up, and Master DK is a master teacher. So what will be the effect upon humanity? Its effect upon humanity will be to bring about the birth of the Christ consciousness among the masses of intelligently aspiring human beings. So not among all, but there are many who intelligently aspire, and he told us that The numbers can even be in the millions. So, this is the, you might say, the birth or the grounding of the Christ consciousness. To set in motion certain relatively new evolutionary processes which will transform humanity, the world disciple, into humanity, the world initiate. So, new evolutionary processes are the responsibility of the seventh ray, that type of energy. So, I think we can say that the seventh ray will work upon the energy system of the disciple, transforming him into the initiate. What else? To establish in a new and intelligible manner the ever-existent sense of relationship, and thus bring about upon the physical plane right human relations. I mean, it won't happen with that ray alone, but it's a great facilitator of right human relations, and that's one I always have and use, right human relations. Okay. So, and of course, the great second ray coming in with the Christ in greater measure will be very important. I see what I've done here, though. Taste makes waste, so try it one more time, RHR, and it's going to be right human relations. All right, there we have it. Good. Okay. The agent of this is goodwill, a reflection of the will to good of the first divine aspect. So goodwill is love in action, and goodwill is a reflection of the will to good. So goodwill is both a reflection of the will to good and an expression of the energy of love. Of this first ray of will or purpose, goodwill is the reflection. Yes, okay. So goodwill is related to two aspects. Goodwill is related to both. Goodwill related to both aspects, the first and the second. Because goodwill is love in action, and of course the action is there too. It brings in the third aspect of divinity. What else will happen under the seventh ray? The to readjust negative and positive relationships. And let's see here. Yeah. And today, this will be carried forward primarily in connection with the sex relation and marriage. So there is much in the relationship between men and women which needs right adjustment. To intensify human creativity and thus bring in the new art as a basis for the new culture and as a conditioning factor in the new civilization. So interesting here that the new art will be a basis, not the only basis, a basis for the new culture. The cult of Ur, you know, the cult of light, as it is said in the Agni Yoga books when describing the nature of culture. Ur is the light. To reorganize world affairs and so initiate the new world order, you know, a phrase which so many people fear, figuring that it will prevent the, well, licentious expression of their lower vehicles. So this is definitely in the realm of ceremonial magic and all that reorganization is somewhat in the care of Master R as the regent of Europe and the regent of the United States. So he, with his seventh-ray soul, understands very well the principles of ceremonial magic and how to bring the right kind of divine order, at least an order which reflects divinity, into the great countries or unities of countries. All right. Now let's see, what do we have here so far? So we have first the potent energy of initiation, especially upon the physical plane, such as the first initiation. The effects upon humanity, Christ consciousness. Let's, you know, just emphasize the main thoughts here, Christ consciousness. A relatively new evolutionary processes, so that means new stimulation and new relationships between energy centers to establish a new and intelligible manner the ever-existent sense of relationship. So, but basically that's leading to right human relations. And, okay, let's see if I get rid of that. Yeah, right human relations. No, that's, here we go. And what else? Human creativity. These are very wonderful possibilities for all of us and worth looking forward to, worth understanding, and also worth fighting for in an intelligent way. And the reorganization of world affairs. So let's say, I'll just do the entire sentence here. To reorganize world affairs so that the New World Order, which is an aspect of the divine plan, can come into manifestation. Okay. The stimulation of the seventh ray will, in relation to the individual initiate, bring into being upon the mental plane a widespread and recognized relation between the soul and the mind. So always this bringing into relationship is a key factor. Is a key factor in the functioning of the seventh ray. So a widespread recognized relation between soul and mind. And what will we have then? You know, we will have the SLIN soul infused mind. And the mind held steady in the light, as is required, as in the Raja Yoga system. It will produce in the individual initiate, or individual, yes, a measure of order in the emotional processes of the initiate, thus aiding the preparatory work of the second initiation. So, impulse will be checked, or let's call it emotional impulse will be checked and regularized, so there is not that chaos of response and excessive response such as we find when the sixth ray rules and when the emotional body is out of control. In general, emotional control as needed in the second initiation. It will enable the initiate upon the physical plane to establish certain service relationships, to learn the practice of elementary white magic, and to demonstrate the first stage of a truly creative life. So it leads to a preliminary, leading to preliminary magical service. The act of service is a magical act, especially in the matter of building serviceable thought forms. And there we come to TFS, and that's thought forms. Okay. So all of these really necessary developments for the individual initiate coming in under the gifts of the seventh ray. As far as the individual initiate is concerned, the effect of the seventh ray energy in his life is potent in the extreme. Okay, so I imagine that this will be noticed by initiates at this time. Noticed by initiates at this time of human development. This is easily realized owing to the fact that his mind and his brain are conditioned by the seventh ray at the time the initiatory process is consciously taking place. What a statement. So, you know, for rayologists and people who are wondering what conditions the energy system of an individual passing through the first initiation, we have some very definite statements about the ray quality of the mind and brain. Okay. So the effect of the seventh ray is potent in the extreme. The individual initiate, let's just say the one passing through the first initiation. And this is easily realized because the mind and brain are both conditioned by the seventh ray at the time the initiatory process is consciously taking place. Well, it's conscious even though we may forget later. Conscious within the causal body. The effect of this upon the mental plane is similar to that seen on a much larger scale in the planet, for it was this ray energy which the planetary logos utilized when he brought together the major dualities of spirit and matter at the commencement of his creative work. We note that the planetary logos has expressions of the ray energies at his disposal when undertaking creative work and bringing together those energy centers which must relate to each other. So the Ray Lords, in the lower sense, well, in the higher sense, the planetary logos is himself a Ray Lord. In the lower sense, there are Ray Lords lower in scope than the planetary logos. Okay, the two aspects of the mind, the lower concrete mind and the soul, the son of mind, become more closely related. You know, we have to fuse and blend. So let's just say there is much in diffusing, blending, and integrating process which relates to the energies of the of the seventh ray. So they become more closely related and enter eventually into a conscious recognize association on the astral plane. Okay, so they can affect this world of illusion and the world of desire. It is the seventh ray which restores order within the astral consciousness, such a chaotic and disorderly at first consciousness. And on the mental plane, it is this influence which produces creativity. Very interesting. So, and on the mental plane, seventh ray, it, let's make sure we know what we're talking about here, seventh ray is the influence which produces creativity, the organizing of the life, and the bringing together within the head of the lower and higher energies in such a manner that the Christ is born. So this is a big hint. Let's see, we'll do this. This is a... Okay, I hope to have that correct. Yeah. All right, a big hint. Now, concerning, let's see if I can get out of here. Maybe not so easily. Okay. Yeah. Okay, it is. So this is a big hint, a big technical, TCHL. Okay. We'll use that one also, TECHL, and this is technical. This is a big technical hint about how the Christ consciousness comes to birth within the head, interestingly enough, not only within the heart. So order upon the astral plane and creativity upon the mental plane. So here we will emphasize this, creating order within the astral consciousness. And we do notice that about 7th-ray people, really, that they have a more orderly astral response, so it seems. And this influence produces creativity, the organizing of the life, and the bringing together within the head of the lower and higher energies in such a manner that the Christ is born. This whole idea of the Christ being born, at least in part, within the head, is very important. The latter point we shall consider in some detail when we take up the significance of the initiations. I think, you know, there's a connection there between the pineal gland and the pituitary gland, one representing the soul, one representing the personality, pituitary, the personality, and the Christ coming to birth through their fusion, coming to birth at least in the lower three worlds. I guess that's what birth means. The Christ consciousness already exists in the higher worlds, and so it does not have to manifest further. Its manifestation is required in the lower worlds. Okay. Ah, well, here it is. Goodness, it's almost as if I read this before. Or am I doing this cryptomnesia thing, you know? This latter point we shall consider in some detail when we take up the significance of the initiations. We shall then find that the relationship between the pituitary body and the pineal gland is involved. So let's say that technically this relationship is involved in the birth of the Christ. And let's, I think I better capitalize that, birth of the Christ within the head. Of course, occultists work with the head, and there is a replica or maybe a prototype of the heart center within the head. Finally, it is this seventh ray energy which, in the initiatory process between the first and second initiations, enables the initiate in his physical plane life to demonstrate a developing sense of order and of organization, to express consciously and increasingly a desire to help his fellow men in practical ways and demonstrating right human relations, and thereby establish relationship with them and to make life creative in many ways. So let's just say that all this occurs between the first and second initiations. and is due to the qualities of the seventh ray. Okay, and I think enables the initiate to do what? Demonstrate a developing sense of order and of organization. So the law of economy is served and there is no waste of the new energies. To express consciously and increasingly a desire to help his fellow man. This is because of relationship, right? And thereby establish relationship with them based on the proper design, which is found in the heavens, where Uranus, the heavenly one, the seventh ray one, rules, and thereby establish a relationship and to make his life creative in many ways. So all of this is what we can expect. DK is very, it seems to us quite complete in discussing the various unfoldments which will occur when the seventh ray is working in the life of humanity, yes, and in the life of the individual initiate. All this is what we have to look forward to. We can understand that his grasp of the situation is very great, and he can in clear ways set forth the developments which we will only recognize in time and as the decades pass away, even as the centuries pass away. So I think, you know, it's worth reviewing all these things that we can expect when the seventh ray comes into greater potency, as it is now, ever since 1675, right? And, well, let's see, its cycle might be considered, in a way, one of its cycles 700 years, so 350, you know, that's 1975 and 2025. Well, that tells us something, doesn't it, about the externalization and manifestation of the hierarchy. I don't know whether I've calculated that before, but it just came to me at the moment that if we add 350 years to the year 1675, we shall arrive at 2025, a time when the great plans will be laid. So somehow the first stages of actual planning for the externalization process leading to the reappearance of the Christ will, in all probability, take place. So that shows you how those ray cycles work. There may be other periods of time associated with different rays, but we've been told 770, 700, 7,000, and so forth will be related as durations to the expression of the seventh ray. So we're working towards that. Only 8 years left here, as we are in 2017, and we must find a way that it is the good that will manifest and that the energies of that seventh ray will not be used to somehow crystallize, that's another seventh ray word, the effect of the lords of materialism, the Black Lodge, upon our physical plane. You can see that there is a big push now from their side as they seek to undo many of the gains which humanity has made over the recent decades. So it's going to be, again, one of those last ditch fights or fights until the last ditch, as it is said, and every disciple is fully needed in this process because, you know, we must work subjectively. We believe in the white magical process. We know a little something about it, and what we do inwardly and white magically will work out tangibly. Now, you know, DK's talked about in his summary what will happen, okay, for the EXHH and later the ROCC, O-R-O-C, reappearance of the Christ. Excuse me. So all these emerging factors are embryonic in his nature, but he now begins to consciously lay the foundation for the future initiatory work. And we can understand that if we're building a house, you know, or any kind of edifice, that the seventh ray is responsible for the foundation, the basis on which it is all built. The seventh ray is responsible for the foundation, the basis of the edifice. The physical disciplines are at this time of great importance. I mean, that is when the seventh ray is coming in and the period of the first initiation is either being approached or has recently occurred. The physical disciplines are at this time of great importance, though their value is frequently overemphasized and their effect is not always good. Especially, why would that be? Especially if we attempt to re-establish conscious control of processes which have already been handed over to the automatic care of the subconscious. So he warns us against, for instance, hatha yoga, too much involvement in that. Some people use it as exercise, okay, but you know, the earnest hatha yogin seeks to regain conscious control of whether his heart will beat or his stomach will digest, and all these processes which work automatically as a foundation to our type of modern life, and should be left under most circumstances into the to the level of automaticism, these are regained. And the concentration is upon that which is not a principle, namely the dense physical vehicle. So in a way, it's a retrogression. So anyway, he's warning us about the overemphasis of the physical disciplines and the attempt to do the right thing physically oftentimes shuts out the approach to doing the right thing in terms of the principled vehicles, etherically, emotionally, mentally, and so forth, because we have a densely physical preoccupation. The relationships established and fostered are sometimes of small value, owing to the disciple being usually self-centered and thus lacking, from ignorance and lack of discrimination, complete purity of motive. So this is a reason why D.K. thinks that too much attention on the physical, that's planes, physical disciplines can be unhelpful. Nevertheless, the changes brought about by the influence of this ray become increasingly effective from life to life. Well, we're going to have more than 2,000 years with the seventh ray accompanying the sign Aquarius during the processional age. The disciples' relation, every time you see that word relation, and it's, you know, so often a vertical relation, I'm reminded here of Libra, the seventh sign. It doesn't necessarily give the seventh ray, but it might in certain ways. And there is an oscillation between the pairs of opposites, high and low, bringing them into relationship with each other. So be aware of this term, relation, when we are discussing the seventh ray. Nevertheless, the changes brought about by the influence of this ray become increasingly effective from life to life. The disciple's relation to the hierarchy, the reorganizing of his life on the physical plane, and his growing effort to demonstrate the esoteric sense of white magic, the seventh sense, as it is sometimes called, the seventh sense, and it is a deep awareness of things which most individuals are not aware of. will become more and more vital until he is ready for the second initiation. So this ray is part and parcel of training the individual probationary initiate for the second initiation. Order, control, creativity, transmutation, and thus purification, all of these factors are involved. And maybe we should be, you know, observing the lives of people we know and in whom the seventh ray is operative, and like good esoteric psychologists, if we can possibly do it, see the ways that the ray is contributing to their development. Now, if the seventh ray is working between the first and second initiation, will the sixth ray, which rules the second initiation, continue its work between the second and third? We'll have to focus on that. And a whole new basis is built up. The disciples' relation to the hierarchy. We might say heaven and earth are meeting as hierarchy and humanity meet. And the, you know, the rhythmic reorganizing of his life on the physical plane so that energy is wisely distributed, rhythmic reorganization. Energy is wisely distributed and at the right time. It's interesting when the sixth ray is out of balance and in earlier uses than its use around the time of the second initiation, it suffers from the glamour of interruption, the glamour of interference, the glamour of barging in where it has no place. It has not assessed the situation, and it simply runs in with its present impulse. There's a much more cautious approach that the seventh ray will offer. It is a ray of restraint, of right timing, of proportional application of energy. Everything is co-measured with the seventh ray when it is wisely used. Well, as you can see, we have worked now on this presentation of the preliminary presentation of the first initiation. DK will have more to say about it as we go on in the book. But we're laying a foundation, and of course, much more is also said in Initiation Human and Solar, and in various of the books that he's written. We need, you know, what has he done? Well, as we all know, he's scattered the information throughout his books. And what does that mean for us? We have to somehow regather it so that it forms a coherent whole. And that's one of the things that was a great gift with the Alice Bailey CD-ROM, making it so much easier to find the various pieces that all related to the same subject and regather them so that within our understanding, within our mental understanding, we could see the picture whole. It used to take, probably some of you remember what it took when we just had hard copies of the books and running to the index, depending on how well it was done, and then thumbing through the pages, maybe 100 times slower, you know, maybe more. I remember a friend of mine just about going through the roof with delight when he heard that there was going to be an Alice Bailey CD-ROM. He was a computer person, and he knew something about the advantages. I didn't at the time, but I quickly did find out. Okay, well, I think we can consider this a unit as a whole and not necessarily stop the program at each initiation. So we'll take up now initiation number 2, the baptism in the Jordan. And Ray 6 rules this. And it's the energy of idealism and devotion. It's the sixth ray energy. And, of course, the sixth ray can be an energy which is properly disciplined. It doesn't always have to be out of joint and interfering. It can be it is very much needed, let's say. DK emphasizes the need for sixth ray disciples at this time. Somehow they have the perseverance to reach through to the goal and to detach themselves and elevate themselves above the snares of the dense physical plane, which the seventh ray type, if it is not careful, can be caught in. My preposition should have been elsewhere, but there it was. Okay, so, you know, the seventh ray can be extremely materialistic. Well, I guess any ray can have a materialistic focus, but the sixth ray is always looking above and beyond once a certain level of development is reached, above and beyond the immediate form. That's why it's sometimes called the ray of abstract idealism. And I think I just have to mention that, A-B-S-T-R-A-C-T, abstract idealism. The word abstract can be used with the third ray and also abstract mind, and also with the first ray, the ray of abstraction, 1, 3, and 6. Interestingly, those three rays at the present time are being used in such a manner as to cause difficulty in the political sphere, the financial and the emotional sphere, the religious sphere. So somehow we have to learn to use them in the right way. In the initiatory process between the first initiation and the birth of the Christ and the beginning of the conscious unfoldment of the Christ life and awareness, the life of the initiate has undergone a pronounced reorientation. The first initiation of the birth of the Christ and the beginning of the conscious unfoldment of the Christ life and awareness. And, you know, this this can cover quite a number of years or of lives, let's say. Now, you know, in the life of the initiate Jesus, the Christ became the great overshadowing presence when he was 30 years old, when Jesus was 30 years old, and that was the second initiation that happened at the baptism in the Jordan. John the Baptist insisted on baptizing what was then the Christ. Well, actually, it's the other way around, isn't it? John the Baptist was shy about that, and the Christ insisted. Yeah, that's it. So, but still then only 3 years remained until the crucifixion and the fourth initiation was taken. So the great majority of time was spent between the birth and the baptism. And that is the symbol of the number of lives that can be spent, a greater number than in the other parts of his life, between the first and second initiation. So there are interesting statements. You know, we don't know how many lives are required. It will be a significant number when compared with the entire initiatory span. There's one reference, I think I have to find it, where it talks about the possibility of going on to the second initiation in the very next life from the birth. So the birth to the baptism, it would just be one life. But that's a very rare reference, and usually DK tells us about the time required between the first and second initiation as being lengthy. So that's probably wise to think of it in that way for the average first degree initiate. Maybe for some extraordinary individual with a tremendous will and lots of experience behind him. It's one or two lives might be a possibility. Anyway, the initiate is now capable of an equally pronounced and often fanatical adherence to the program of aspiration and devotion to the good as he sees it at this stage. It's usually a limited vision, and that, of course, is what makes the fanatic, adherence to a limited vision. The vision is usually limited, and fanaticism is a limitation of scope. So there is a reorientation, and between at various times as we begin approaching the sixth initiation, the second initiation on the sixth ray, fanatical adherence is possible, and we've all seen it. It emphasizes the vision that it holds, regardless of other possibilities. It rejects those other possibilities. They are dismissed as being less important than the fanatical adherence with keen aspiration to the vision which is seen, however limited that vision may be at this time. This is symbolized for us in the story of the 12-year-old Jesus, who was so conscious that he must be about his father's business. Of course, he was contacting the monad. He was a third-degree initiate already. He was already a third-degree initiate, third initiation. Let's see, third-degree initiate. All right, let me put that in. Third-degree initiate. Third-degree initiate. Yeah, he was already that because as Joshua, the high priest, in a former life, he had taken the third degree. So he knew what contact with the monad was. And, you know, he was basically telling his mother, what have I to do with thee? He was in an exalted state, and he was, I guess, Jesus at that point. Whether he was at all in line with the Christ energy, it's hard to say, you know, when that really began. It certainly, the takeover of his vehicle really occurred at the second degree, but there are stories about his training in India and so forth in the Agni Yoga series of books, that as someone called Issa, he went to India and was trained by the initiates there, a great journey when he disappeared. So it's hard to know, did he, in a way, meet the Christ when he went to India? Did he in a way meet the Maitreya Buddha, who would be overshadowing him and using his vehicle when he went on that pilgrimage, if indeed he did, as is asserted in the Agni Yoga books? Anyway, 12 years old, you know, it's the completion of a cycle. So this represents the completion of a zodiacal cycle, and Pisces is very related to the first ray in one respect, and to the monad, and to the great sacrifice of the monad. So Jesus was so conscious that he must be about his father's business. In other words, he was in a sense, I want to do that in IAS, fanatical. When was this, you know, in a sense, fanatical? Well, I suppose it was between the birth and the later baptism, 18 years later. So 18 years later. So there are lost years in the life of Jesus, and there are many mysteries concerning the training of these high initiates, you know, the mystery of the lost years of Jesus, the mystery of whether Francis Bacon really died or did not, you know, the feigning of death by the Master R, so that he could be free of to pursue other things and free of men's thoughts. So here the initiate Jesus is defying his parents, especially his mother here, cause them distress, as fanatics often will. That's not emphasized in the Bible so much, but DK must know about it because he probably checked the records, as fanatics often do, and astonish those older than he by his spiritual poise and knowledge. You know, he had an advanced and unfolded causal body, as Joshua, the high priest. I'm not exactly sure of the chronology there, what years Joshua the high priest lived, but Jesus came in as an initiate. Now, this he offset, I guess he recognized it, by going down to Galilee and being subservient to his parents. You know, let's just say one must discipline one's spiritual ambition, and service is the way. So there we have it. A somewhat similar attitude without the developed and inclusive understanding manifested by the Christ. Notice here, DK sometimes wraps the gold and silver threads pretty tightly. The episodes are the silver threads in the life of Jesus, and the events are the golden threads in the life of the Christ. So he is, DK is wrapping the silver and golden threads rather tightly. And the question is, when is it Jesus and when the Christ within? Well, the true overshadowing took place at the time of the baptism. But as I said, you know, there remains the question of whether there was any kind of contact, first subjective and then maybe more in person, of a Christ with Jesus during those during that period of 18 years, from 12 to 30, from the time of teaching the elders in the temple to the time of the baptism. So a somewhat similar attitude without the developed and inclusive understanding manifested by the Christ can be seen expressing itself in the disciple during the period wherein the new orientation is taking place. The disciple is learning to discipline his lower nature and to achieve a measure of mastery over his physical inclinations. He thus releases physical energy and brings order into his life. So, but the disciple doing this often has a one-pointed and fanatical attitude. This takes a very long time and may cover a cycle of many incarnations. So here he is again emphasizing that the many incarnations which might be occurring between the first and the second degree. Lots of disciplining to do, to work upon, and mastery. Some degree of mastery is required. Let's just say that physical mastery is not wholly achieved at the first degree, but is achieved to a necessary degree. So he is releasing physical energy and hopefully doing that in a way that is in line with the plan of his soul and brings order into his life, still continuing the energy of the seventh ray in the interim. So he still continues the energy of the seventh ray in the interim between the interim between the first initiation and the second initiation. So it may take a very long time. He is constantly fighting against his lower nature and the requirements of his soul, as he sometimes ignorantly interprets them, are in constant session against his animal nature, and increasingly in relation to the emotional nature. So many physical instincts, PHY, okay, I just want to see, you know, maybe it's hardly worth it with such a word, but let's do it anyway. Many physical instincts, sex, appetite, you know, the heads of the Hydra, the physical heads of the Hydra are warring with soul impulse and direction. And increasingly also with where the desire should be focused. So it's a battle. It is a battle between the first initiation and the second initiation. And many of the students of Master DK now will find themselves in that particular position. So they're carrying forth the seventh ray, bringing order to the physical plane and the instinctual nature, bringing order to the emotional impulses. But there is a lot of the fourth ray operating here. There's a war, and it must resolve itself on behalf of the higher tendencies. Well, I think, I can read one more thing. Above all, he becomes aware of a secondary relation involving a most difficult problem and one which enhances the fight and intensifies the problem. His problem, he discovers, is his emotional nature, his lower psychic faculties, his astral development, and the potency of glamour are now arrayed against him. But he has to, let's just say, the disciple must disidentify from these. But first, he must recognize RECZ. Okay. I'll do it that way. But first, he must recognize them. Recognize them, yeah. He has to see them. He has to be far enough apart from them so that he can understand that with which he is faced. And we might say that no wonder Scorpio, the sign of battle, is the sign usually associated with the second initiation. It is operative at the first and the third too, and probably plays some kind of role different than its usual role in the fourth initiation. But the second initiation is the initiation which traditionally is most associated with Scorpio. Okay, friends, so now we have, this is the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 70. The day is the 17th of February, 2017. And the pages from 573 to wherever we are now. And let's see where we are. 576. Okay, and then we will continue the beginning of Ray's Initiation Webinar Commentary, number 71, whatever day it's on, and page 576 is our starting point. So, the fascinating things here about the initiations is giving us a real basis. He does discuss more as he goes, but we're certainly being given the broader perspective, the sense of time, why certain rays should be applicable to certain initiations. That's the thing that we have to know, not just that they are, but why they are, what they give to the disciple when properly used in relation to a particular initiation. Okay, we'll see you later, and thanks for being here. Okay. Bye-bye.